Welcome to the 10th annual Danilo Husar's Group Memorial Lecture. I am very gratified to see so many of you here. It's been 10 years now since Danilo's group died, and we've been holding these memorial lectures every year since then. I won't say any more about Danilo at the moment because this lecture will be followed by a reception afterwards over in the opposite corner of this large building where we will say a few more words about Danilo. Let me just say that the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies is very proud to sponsor this event. We are very grateful to the Canadian Foundation for Ukrainian Studies for their support of this event. We are very grateful to Danilo's family, to his widow, Oksana, to his mother, to his sister, and to all the rest of his family who have supported this event at various times. And, as I say, we are very grateful to all of you for coming. Today's speaker is a particularly apt speaker for the 10th anniversary. Tamara Hundorova is not only an exceptional scholar, but it just so happens that 10 years ago, just before his death, Danilo, not too fortunately from his own perspective, was named chair of the Department of Slavic Languages and Literatures at this university. And one of the privileges of a chair is that since a chair is being pulled away from his teaching duties or her teaching duties into academic bureaucracy, there is some possibility for hiring instructors in place of the chair. And the instructor we brought in that year that was to replace at least one course of Danilo's was Professor Tamara Hundorova. And at that time, we were very fortunate to have such an outstanding scholar. And today, her reputation has grown, and we are even more fortunate to have her with us. To say just a few brief words about Tamara Hundorova, she is a senior research associate at the Institute of Literature of the Academy of Sciences in Ukraine. She is, at this very moment, also the Petro Yacek Distinguished Fellow in Ukrainian Studies at the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute. She will also be teaching the summer program at Harvard. She will be conducting the literature course. Tamara Hundorova is, beyond any doubt, one of, if not the leading, scholar of Ukrainian literature in Ukraine today. She is a theoretician. She is, in fact, the director of the Division of Literary Theory at the Institute of Literature in Ukraine. She has any number of specific interests in her scholarly portfolio, and she has been a most productive scholar. Her most recent effort, let me show it to you because it's just wonderful. It has this really wonderful image of a dainty and dexterous ballerina and her favorite cat. The book is entitled Kitsch I Literatura, Kitsch and Literature. So the illustration is most appropriate. I highly recommend this book. It's not only very interesting and very scholarly, but it's also lots of fun. Right. Tamara Hundorova is also the author of quite a long list of publications, of which I will only read you some of the most prominent. She is the author of a volume entitled Pislya Chernobylska Biblioteka, Ukrainsky Literaturny Postmodern, of another volume, Femina Melancholica, Stać I Kultura w Gendernej Utopii Olhy Kopylańskiej. One of her best-known volumes appeared, well, a decade ago, I guess now, «Проявлення слова, дискурсія раннього українського модернізму, постмодерна інтерпретація». And some earlier publications, Fracone Caminar and others. Please join me in welcoming Tamara Hundorova, who will give us a talk today entitled Ukrainian Literary Populism Unveiled, The Question of Popular Literature.
Dear colleagues, dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, it's a big honor and great pleasure to deliver today Danilo Strug Memorial Lecture. I remember very well when I met Professor Danilo Strug. He was for me like a legend, and his name was mentioned among the names of Yuri Shevelov and Yuri Lutsky, and it was very pleasure to be introduced to him and to be invited by him to teach a course at Slavic Department in Toronto University. So it's a great pleasure to present today my lecture. Today I will be speaking about conflicts and models of cultural self-perception during the second half of the 19th century, especially those that are connected with the phenomenon of literary populism. In Ukrainian cultural and ethnological history, the term populism has quite a long and stable tradition of usage. Also, it was always open to debate. One of the first discussions of populism in Ukrainian literature was sparked by an article written by Sofia Rusova in 1803, in which she talks about an exclusively populist tradition in Ukrainian literature, and by Ivan Franko's reply to her article, in which he categorically states that Ukrainian literature was never exclusively populist. Yuri Shevelov, who devoted considerable attention to populism and its adaptation by socialist realism, associated populism with a quasi-peasant narrative style or imitation of a rural or preferably peasant stylized monologue, narrative or dialogue. A new surge in discussions around populism and its place in culture was observed after the publication of Salomea Pavlichka's monographs, as well as my own, on modernism in Ukrainian literature, in which this literary movement was treated as a particular phenomenon of anti-populism. To summarize the main defensive strategy of the adherents of populism, I quote the words of Lukasz Skupenko. I quote, "Owing to the overtly negative connotation of populism, the very discussion of Ukrainian literature as a self-sufficient living organism acquires sinister, grotesque meaning because it erodes the foundation of its continuity in specificity." For his part, Volodymyr Morenets asserts that populism per se did not produce anything that would inhibit the further progress of Ukrainian literature, for which its own ethnocultural and psycholinguistic basis in all the multiplicity of its historical realities, folkloric mythological folksong tradition was, is, and will be determinative. End of quotation. In this discourse, a few points are crucial to our understanding of populism. First, the identification of populism with literature as a self-sufficient living organism. Second, the identification of populism with the continuity and specificity of the whole Ukrainian literary tradition. Third, the identification of populism with an ethnocultural and psycholinguistic basis, in other words, with national mentality. And fourth, the notion that a critical attitude to populism means renouncing our very selves. Thus, populism was essentially recognized as an organic and an integral tradition, and even as the foundation of the ethno-psychological characteristic of Ukrainian literature and culture. Today I try, first of all, to reconstruct the concept of literary populism as a constructivist idea and an intellectual project by tracing, at least in a general way, the evolution of its development. And second, deconstructing the strategy of national cultural self-perception, which determined the nature of the populist identity. The question I would like today to discuss are the following. First, populism is not an organic phenomenon, but a construction of the Ukrainian elite. Second, the essential notion of the populism project is народна література. And third, the populist movement embodies the other project of modernization alongside of aesthetic modernism of the beginning of the 20th century. When we speak of the phenomenon of populism, we immediately think of another concept that coexists with it and even intersects with it. I'm speaking of Ukrainophilism. To a significant degree, this concept has an ideological and political meaning. As Sergei Plohy has stated, it is in fact a discrete project, I quote, to deconstruct the all-Russian imperial tradition developed in the course of the 18th century, reappropriate the contribution made to it by their little Russian ancestors, and build a distinct history and identity on that foundation. The term Ukrainophilism emerges in connection with the Cyril and Methodius Brotherhood. In his report to the Tsar about the Brotherhood, the chief of gendarmes Orlov states, in Kiev and Little Russia, Slavophilism is turning into Ukrainophilism. Alexei Miller writes that the members of the Cyril and Methodius Brotherhood were already a generation of commoners, raznochinci. And in any case, it was completely populist. It is true that he does not specify exactly what was populist about them, thereby, in fact, identifying populism with Ukrainophilism. An attempt to clarify the interconnection between the two was made by Mikhail Dragomanov in his article What is Ukrainophilism, in which he states that even a pure Ukrainophile, a national, cannot avoid being a populist, because, according to him, the Ukrainian nationality is almost exclusively represented by the Ukrainian common folk. Therefore, generally speaking, he said, in Ukraine only an inconsistent populist cannot become a Ukrainophile, and vice versa. From which either end one begins, this is nothing more than a matter of personal development. Among the principal ideas that link populism and Ukrainophilism, I will think about the romantic conception of populism, particularly Herder's idea of folk and folk culture and the folk spirit. As Dragomanov noted, the term Ukrainophilism did not emerge at all randomly, but completely rationally, analogously to other similar terms that were used to describe other similar trends in Europe. He connects this movement with post-Napoleonic moods in Europe, and he regards the derivation of certain sociopolitical and cultural tendencies from the certain essence of spirit of various nations or races as the philosophical basis of Ukrainophilism, exactly like Germanophilism, Celtophilism, and Slavophilism. Populism acquired special meaning and urgency in the second half of the 19th century during the period of positivism, when the active emancipatory processes of modernization and Europeization of Ukrainian culture were being launched. It was precisely in Europeanization that Dragomanov saw the reason behind the emergence of an opposition between populism and modernism. I quote, those who were sitting in Ukraine, or rather left it, like the first Ukrainian writer of the 19th century, Dragomanov noted, were able to retain more Ukrainian ethnographic feeling in themselves, yet they were less capable of assimilating European liberalism and democracy. Thus began what Dragomanov defines as the fatal rupture between free-thinking and enlightened Europeanism and Ukrainian ethnographic patriotism, a rupture that does not end to this day. In this instance, he does not use the term populism, but it appears that he identifies Ukrainian ethnographic patriotism precisely with that movement, the initial stages of which he notes in the works of the first Ukrainian writers. However, I would argue that the interrelation between populism and Europeanism was not as simple as Dragomanov had noted. The populist ideology in Ukraine reflected very strongly the ideas of the Western Enlightenment process. And I would stress that a particular type of cultural practice, which may be called literary populism, was formed and developed precisely within the framework of national ideology and the modernizing process generated by the Enlightenment. One of its important hallmarks is the development of the concept of popular literature, narodna literatura, or as Dragomanov stressed, the Ukrainophiles' concerns about narodna literatura. It is in this very trend of literary populism that Mikhail Grushevsky, in an article about Alexander Konevsky, defines as an enlightening progressive current with significant national coloring. Просвітню поступова течія зі значною національною закраскою. Георг Любович has noted the basic model that was shared by the main participants of this trend, which I call literary populism, namely Пантелеймон Куліш, Микола Костомаров, Михайло Драгоманов, Іван Чулевицький, Борис Грінченко, was based on the notion that, I quote, Ukrainian literature is and should be народна література. Despite such shared aims, there are also fundamental differences in the concept of narodna literatura in all these writers. It is possible to single out several phases in the development of literary populism in regard to the concept of narodna literatura. First and foremost, in the first half of the 19th century, the concept of populism addressed the romantic concept of narodnost as the spirit of the people and herders folk culture. The idea of народність, as Микола Костомаров noted, enlivened our literature, both the reading public and writers regard народність as the chief merit of any work. In Костомаров's view, a mid-19th century romantic writer, like Taras Шевченко, for example, is an all-people's writer, загальнонародний поет, because he is naturally and intuitively in tune with the spirit of the people. This is an entire people speaking through the lips of its poet. Referring thus to the identification of the poet's soul with popular sentiment, in other words, spirit, Костомаров asserted the existence of a Ukrainian popular or народна література. In his view, popular literature was almost a metaphysical construction of the romantic type, built on the identification of nature, the people, and spirit, genius. As we know, Костомаров later in the 1880s divides it into all Russian literature written in the bookish Russian language and local, so-called local Ukrainian literature, which will exist for domestic use, particularly for instruction in rural schools. Куліш rejected the reduction of Ukrainophilism to a love of the common man that he seemed in Костомаров. Your idea, he writes, then in order to learn one's language, one must retreat from educated society is completely wrong. You say that only peasant stories can be written in that language. But before your eyes, you have Shevchenko, who expressing in that language the Psalms of David and in feeling was of being voiced members of the highest society. Why do you say that we, Ukrainophiles, had in our heads as ideals only peasants, swineherds, salt carters, and similar slaves? Kulish also puts forward the idea of two levels, or two types of Ukrainian literature, one for the common people and another for educated circles. As for future development, rather than standing in one spot, it will first take place among activists and then be transmitted to the people, Kulish claimed. And the Little Russian literature, such it has been until now, ought to continue as it for the educated novices, while for illiterate novices, one needs to write textbooks, educational and practical books, and where possible, to set up schools. End of quotation. The serious crisis besetting the Ukrainophile concept of populism was symbolized also by Kulish's reassessment of the romantic conception of Kozakdom as in the entire body of romantic folk culture. As we know, the young Kulish was educated on the folk songs collected by Mikhail Maksimovich, who was his teacher at Kyiv University and an important influence on him. Maksimovich gave Kulish books to read and helped him greatly with his literary education. Together they worked on folk songs, systematizing and arranging them according to categories, because Maksimovich continued to publish songs he stayed with Dmytro Doroshenko. Already in 1857-58, Kulish was editing and publishing the stories of Grigory Kvitkov-Smiryanenko and Marko Vovchok. He also founded his own printing house, set about publishing inexpensive books for the public, and in the space of 3 years published around 40 small books known as Butterflies under the general title of Silska Biblioteka, which issued the finest work by Ukrainian writer of the day, Taras Shevchenko, Marko Vovchok, Grigory Kvitkov-Smiryanenko, Danilo Bordovic, Hanna Barvinok, Oleksiy Storozhenko, and Pantelmon Kulish himself. At that time, Kulish revised the romantic conception of populism and argues for his own conception of the spirit of the common people, простонародність. He formulated this conception on the basis of Kvitkov-Smiryanenko writing, not Shevchenko, as Kostomarov did. The basis of Kulish's populist conception at that time was neither the mystical romantic identification of genius with the soul of the people, nor the functioning of two types of literature, one for the people and another for an educated public, but the conscious identification of national elite, people who by their education and position in society are from a different milieu, not from the circle of common folk, as he puts it, the identification with the great collective personality of the common man, великою збірною особистістю простолюдина. It was precisely such Ukrainian writers, Kulish asserts, having come together fraternally with millions of countrymen who have not been civilized in a foreign manner, in feelings shared by the entire people, who began to engage in the diligent study and elaboration of the ordinary language of the common people, and by expressing lofty poetic ideas, indeed, they sought to bestow the merits of an all people's language on this language. Thus, the task of a new literature lay, in his opinion, in the need to switch from, I quote, the ordinary language of the common people, простуватої простонародної мови, to an all people's language, всенародної мови, and to do this through the elite's diligent study and elaboration of the language of the common people. Despite the rationality of this cultural construction of popular literature by the elite, there are still references in his writing to the organic nature of the folk language. In Kulish's view, that language is related to full language, full world, represented, for example, by Kvitkov-Smiryanenko. And when a writer presents life with his full world, as it is really is, he claimed, without giving it any kind of interpretation, without assigning oneself any kind of philosophical theme, then there will be a philosophy and a moral process in his writing, since a wise man perceives in life itself as much as he will also perceive in the poetic image of life. End of quotation. Therefore, Kulish's conception of popular literature unfolds from the top down, but with the acknowledgement of the self-sufficient nature of popular culture. He talks about the need to identify oneself as a common man, for Sturuden, taking folk language form as a full language. At the same time, he writes about the need to develop forms of our peasantifying language for service to universal human thought, through translation to be done directly from foreign languages into Ukrainian. One or two popular works and literature would send roots deeply into its native soul, he states. Kulish later reached the more skeptical conclusion about such populism that narrows down the possibility of self-identification, both individual and national. In the mid-1870s in particular, he called the tendency to search for all humanity only in the working and the bargaining classes a fatal extreme. He sees populism naturally developing into chlopomanstvo, love of the peasantry movement, and acquiring the features of crude stylization. Kulish notes that the imitation of the manners of the common people leads to the emergence of copies presenting a deformed idea of the original. Since not all young noblemen had even seen the fine images of the common folk, and not all were capable on the basis of their observation to create in their souls the ideal of the genuine grace of the common man and his unsophisticated decorum of manner. End of quotation. The imitation of narodnosti, or populism, frequently in the form of a degraded and coarse grassroots folksness, leads to the circumstance, as noted by Orest Levitsky, that the chlopomani rejected all signs of lordly behavior and deliberately, one would say, went native soul as not to differ in any way from their smaller brother, with whom they sincerely desired to unite body and soul. This mood acquires immense character. Almost immediately, this nativization became very fashionable, and young lords not only wore a national Ukrainian clothing, as did some of their parents, but they also sewed it from the coarsest material, rubbed their boots with tar, smoked ordinary tobacco, and in their conversation and manners behaved intentionally like genuine uneducated youth. General Kulish's project of popular literature, reflecting the ideas of modernization and democratization, had several phases moving forward through negation. He destroyed the romantic idea of Folkgeist, introducing a rational idea of self-identification with the Velikoyu Zbirnoyu Osobistosti Prosto Ludina. He rejected the Enlightenment project of popular culture as a crude mimetic imitation. Finally, he created so-called Khuturna Philosophia, the other variant of populism based on alienation from the very idea of modernity. Literary populism in the positivist period is considerably more differentiated in terms of its programmatic manifestos and conception. The populist conception also acquired a new meaning in connection with debates that take place around the possibilities of creating high Ukrainian literature. Not surprisingly, as early as the beginning of the 19th century, Russian critics consistently assert the peasant's nature of the Ukrainian language and its unsuitability for creating high culture. Thus, even in 1871, we can read it in a secret letter to St. Petersburg that the sources of Ukrainophilism are developing entirely out of a sentimental admiration for Ukraine. They find comfort in the little Russian song, filled with melody. They love the folk tale and the proverb. They gaze cheerfully both at their native landscape and their native costume. But those who dream of Narodna literatura, as was stated in this letter, forget that a work of art requires solid mechanical and technical preparation that does not exist for the Little Russian dialect, and the creation of which, in view of the existence of the Russian language, cannot be considered indispensable. Therefore, prostonarodnyest was recognized as the sole sphere in which Ukrainian literature could function. The question logically arises, what is the connection between Ukrainian and Russian populism? I will merely cite Rahmanov, who points out the distinction of Ukrainian populist literature is different from the great Russian populism. Ukrainian populists do not idealize Ukrainian people as compared to the West. They do not invite the friends of the people to remove the German garb from their populism. They stress no communitarianism, love of schisms, and other manifestations of Eastern Russophilism. On the one hand, it is obvious that one cannot entirely reject a certain commonality in the positivistic enlightenment programs of both the styles of populism, particularly in connection with the emergence of the Raznochintsy intellectuals. On the other hand, the ideals of these two varieties of the populist movements were quite distinct. In particular, the Ukrainian variant has a clearly expressed anti-colonial national and cultural aim, whereas the Russian one had a political and ideological goal. One of the versions of anti-colonial Ukrainian literary populism was the conception of the so-called popular national trend, Narodno-Nacionalny Napryamok. One of its ideologues, Ivan Ilyich Lewitsky, emphasized in the 1894 that, I quote, the spirit of the people, the national spirit, consciously became a distinct characteristic during the period of the most modern Ukrainian-Russian literature. The foundations of this later literature were, in his opinion, the principle of realism, democracy, and народность. It was precisely this literary trend that Nechulovitsky called populist literature, народное письменство. According to Nechulovitsky, beginning with the 1860s, an enlightening populist type of consciousness began to form, one that the critic associated with Western enlightenment. The Ukrainian populist nationals, Ukrainsky народовцы националы, he notes, maintained a progressive, forward-looking direction and wanted to transplant all the latest achievements of European culture and education onto their native soil. They did not bring themselves down to the people, but sought to raise the people to their status in enlightened legal and economic terms. In his novel Khmary, Clouds, 1874, Nechulovitsky portrays two types of Ukrainophilism. The first is derived from romantic Slavophilism presented by Vasil Dashkovich, while the second is the populist enklopoman personified by Pavlo Radyuk. At the same time, the writer sets out the procedure of identification with the people, which is German to Ukrainophile consciousness, namely, the adoption of the Ukrainian national costume. This process may be regarded as the semiotic code of populism. This cultural masquerade is borne out by a scene from the novel in which Radyuk wears the clothing of a typical young village male. This change of dress style, which is followed by the character's attempt to change his identity, is a kind of theater. Radyuk looked like a young village fellow, but he was so handsome, so nicely dressed, and so he were on stage. It should be emphasized that its profound essence, populist народная литература, is an affirmational concept. In other words, it is a specific cultural masquerade which was unmasked by Boris Zinchenko in the late 19th century, when he commented that the grounding of the populist direction in the spirit of the people in the form and content of works was becoming a masquerade illusion, as so the very common working folk speak through their mouths, because that national forms which they had attained was at the same time a peasant, common folk form. Symptomatic in this process was the revision of the romantic conception of populism in literature as the expression of the spirit of the people. An especially important aspect was the growth of the role of the national intelligentsia and its self-perception. Therefore, in analyzing readers' perception of Kulish's work, Zinchenko concludes that one cannot identify the phenomena of Narodna Literatura with the conscious, ideologically colored, individual creative work of the intelligentsia. At the same time, his critic emphasized the intellectual character of Ukrainian popular literature, asserting that also Kulish's work have a very good folk form. Nevertheless, they are far more evoked with the spirit of the intelligentsia than the spirit of the people. Or, to put it more simply, they are merely the product of individual creativity, and because the authors of them belong to the intelligentsia, they become more comprehensive to the intelligentsia than to the people. The demarcation between folk and intellectual literature, as well as the attempt at a new synthesis, by looking ahead to the creation of some kind of ideal all peoples, загальнонародна література, in a specific feature of the evolution of populist народна література in the late 19th century. The concept of загальнонародна література, which is formulated in the late 19th century, signals on the one hand, the differentiation of cultural practice into high culture, and that it can convey the spirit of the common people and serve the common people. And on the other, the construction of a general cultural model of a national literature, not a народна література, which becomes known as the literatura of all the peoples. In one of the discussions centered on the development of modern Ukrainian self-awareness, which took place in 1892-93 between Zinchenko and Dragomanov, the question of common peoples in high literature becomes paramount. Dragomanov, who was a pan-Russianist, tended more towards the model of from the bottom up, asserting that till now, the public statements of Ukrainian writers and poets from the rural circle soon bolster the theory that they do not have to depart from it, from this framework, then the contrary. In preaching the need for Ukrainian literature based on the spirit of the common people and criticizing the switch of contemporary Ukrainian writer to high culture and themes from the life of the intelligentsia, Dragomanov warned against Tridiakovshchina, which is so often conspicuous in Galician writers, who are more wrapped up in high and broad literature. He argued, may prostonarodnist be the land of entails for our writers. Although Zinchenko generally agreed with Dragomanov's model of developing national culture from the bottom up, he emphasized the movement of both literature towards fusion in some kind of national literature, together to produce literature both for the people and for the intelligentsia, taking care naturally that they seek to merge together. Accordingly, Zinchenko calls for the creation as quickly as possible alongside literature for the people, also of scholarly and poetical literature for the intelligentsia, and both this literature will merge when the people merge with the intelligentsia into one educated cultural community. It was Zinchenko who accepted the need to recognize a single literature for all classes of a given nationality. In the early part of the 20th century, he also sought to demolish the romantic conception of Shevchenko's spirit of the common people as formulated by Kostomarov. In studying the reception of Shevchenko's work in the countryside, Zinchenko notes that on no account can one call them a continuation of folk literature. One cannot say that Shevchenko, the poet, was the people, that the people seemingly chose him to sing on their behalf. Zinchenko emphasizes that the nature of the great poet lies in marching ahead of the masses, while the masses must lift themselves up and measure to his idea. He thus shifts the mission of creating culture not onto the people, but onto the intelligentsia and their poet. on the whole, in the modernist period, Zinchenko even more unambiguously formulated a conception in opposition to the high concept of the true popular culture, declaring that now the popular mass must be summoned to cultural life, to intellectual life. Modernism is a contrast of to folk and popular literature, advances the idea of high or higher culture. Mykola Yevshen considers ukrainophilism as an ideological tradition that held sway for a decade and which ultimately devolved into the ritual practiced by the sincere Ukrainian. I quote, to wear the national costume, baggy pants, and a Cossack hat, to weep together with Shevchenko over the misfortune of the widows and orphans, to write several such verses oneself. Beginning in the mid-19th century, from the days of the Cyril and Methodius Brotherhood, Ukrainophilism passed through several stages in several generations. And by the end of the century, it needed fundamental revitalization. The new culture must be national. It must emerge from the depths of the people's soul, but it cannot be Ukrainophile, Yevshen noted. In fact, the critic grouped around the Kyiv-based modernist journal Ukrainska Chata also sought to implement this revitalization of culture on the basis of the idea of modern nationalism, and they criticized the romantic, old world image of Ukrainophilism as such. They were interested in aesthetics and creativity as a type of subjective practice, not as a pursuit of some kind of utilitarian enlightening goals. The main thing is that for these writers, a total Narodna literatura no longer existed. Rather, there was a differentiated cultural unity as they imagined modern Ukrainian culture. This fusion legalized high culture, understood as the process of creating new modern cultural values, popular culture, literature for the common use of readers' public, and primitive culture associated with false stylization. Thus, Mykola Stiblyansky exposed the profound duality in the cultural self-awareness of the Ukrainophile intelligentsia. Some kind of enchanted circle surrounds the Ukrainian populist, primitivist. He wants to satisfy his demands through folk creativity, but he cannot. He is 34, he yells, he hangs around with Kobza players, buys peasant pottery and embroideries, but he cannot create. Finally, Stiblyansky noted the aesthetic limitation of populist literature. Where aesthetic is concerned, the peasant and the Ukrainian populist are identical, he claims. If we trace the development of the populist cultural model all the way to the early 20th century, in other words, to the birth of aesthetic modernism, we can see how the populist type of creativity is steadily unmasked, evolving towards the phenomenon of popular or mass literature. According to Stiblyansky, Ukrainianness created by populist ideology is marching under the flag of popular culture, or to put it more accurately, a primitive symbol culture accessible at any moment to the most primitive person. According to Stiblyansky, the democracy of Ukrainianness thus understood means populism, because populist ideologies are based precisely on the people. As the foundation of the national culture, they take the simplest element of the people, and through its spiritual prism, they look at the work and the task of Ukrainianness. They create culture not for the nation, but for the people and in people's manner and reputation. Thus, the evolution of literary populism brings us back to the beginning, to Herder's concept of folk culture. Herder was the first to employ the concept of popular culture, called Kultur des Volks, in contrast to learned culture, Kultur der Gelehrten. It was this German philosopher of culture who formulated the principles of evaluating and studying folk poetry by linking it to the ideal of humanism in the democratization of art, language, customs, temperaments, climate, and even the pronunciation system of various peoples. Herder's ideas were directed not only against the universal taste of the Enlightenment, with its unchanging norms governing beauty, but also against the newly emergent mass culture. This is precisely what the philosopher Oppo opposes when he speaks of folk poetry, which could never have emerged in order to entertain a reader lounging in a chair. In point of fact, folklore, folk creativity, which was idealized by Herder and the later Romantic writers, was supposed to oppose mass creativity. At the same time, folklore was an ideal essence constructed for the sake of certain goals, inasmuch as the very creativity of the people was only material for enlightening works. In other words, the ore extracted from the depths of Mother Earth. And also the creator of folk poetry is the people. This is not the rebel that exists everywhere, which yelled noisily in marketplaces and works in factories. And this folk, just like the folklore that it creates, is an ideal phenomenon. In his words, to be a singer of the people does not at all mean to come from the rebel or to sing for the rebel. In his work, Popular Literature, History and Guide, Victor Neuberg writes, at its simplest, popular literature can be defined as what the unsophisticated reader has chosen for pleasure. Such a reader may, of course, come from any class in society. Also, the primary appeal of popular literature has been to the poor, and by the end of the 18th century, also to children. Then, too, in the 19th century, there was an increasing amount of cheap improving literature, which comprised, for the most part, cheap editions of classics, including the penny poets. And this became a very real sense, equally popular, as the concept of self-help group. The creation of popular literature generally became an important factor of cultural development in the 19th century. In the evolution of literary populism, unmasked the duality of Herder's folk culture, both as the culture of the people itself and as a popular culture created by the vehicle of culture and civilization, Kulturträger for the people. As Johann Schulze Sachse has pointed out, the idealistic attempt of early Enlightenment intellectual to institutionalize literature as an alternative medium of socialization encouraged the development of a mass narrative culture around 1770. It is one of the irony of modern literary history that this development led higher literature later to dissociate itself from and combat the socialization function of narrative forms. Yet this socializing function was established within the social framework as a whole. Popular literature never relinquished it. In general, popular literature responds to conflicts sparked by modernization itself. In a situation where traditional social, psychological, and cultural structures are undergoing rapid change, while the individual is expected to respond with rationality and social and psychological mobility, popular literature, such as that as народная литература, supported by populism, народность, украинское народность, best meets the reader's expectation and interpretative schemes. The popular literature created by the populist movement appeals to outmoded values and norms, specifically to folk's values, patriarchal tradition, loyalty to family, and makes note of the infantile nature, sentimentality, and irrational heroism of folk characters. Thus, conflicts connected with modernization acquire in works of popular literature a conservative and tendentious coloring. However, in this way, through the senses, through common emotional experiences, and through the imagination, popular literature helps the destabilized and subordinated classes acquire collective experience in surviving and self-preservation in the modern world. Literary populism is an important factor in the modernization of the Ukrainian cultural space. At issue here is the creation of the modern cultural unity of the nation, which differs from so-called state and not state peoples. To the modernists, this means, as one critic commented in 1910, I put, not the transference of already existing elements of national culture from the upper classes to the lower classes, but the creation of a new progressive culture. To a significant degree, the creation of a new progressive culture in the absence of a high culture defines the ideology of Ukrainian modernism. The presence of a representative leading stratum, in other words, a national aware elite, and a high culture became priorities in the theoretical conception of Ukrainian modernism. The literary scholar and philosopher Dmytro Chizhevsky spoke of the incompleteness of Ukrainian literature of the 19th century as a result of the loss of the upper classes and the unformed nature of the high culture. The historian Ivan Lysiak Rudnitsky equated plebeian nation, as he called plebeian nation, with those dubbed incomplete and not historical, at the same time addressing the elite in the concept of high culture. I'm coming to the conclusion, he noted, that the decisive factor in the existence of so-called historical nation was the preservation, regardless of the loss of independence, of the representative leading stratum as the career of political consciousness and high culture. However, the non-historical nations lost or never had a representative class and were reduced to a silent mass of people and a culture predominantly of a folk character. Nevertheless, another possibility exists to look at populism as a culture of the third estate, which was creating forms of popular literature. In this regard, Arnold Tolpe springs to mind. This great British historian equated modernization with westernization, but at the same time he appealed not to the representative cultural elite, but to the middle class, and not to the high, but popular culture. Tolpe also distinguished between two paths of creating a modern society. According to his theory, one is the path from the bottom up, in other words, through the creation of a middle class, and the other from the top down, when the culture identical to the middle class is created according to the program at the top. The elimination of the upper class and its denationalization in Ukraine at a time when the educated strata of society, the nobility, the developing bourgeoisie, and the huge majority of the intelligentsia upheld the platform of Russian state national and cultural national affiliation, in fact helped strengthen and expand the middle and small merchant class in Ukraine, as well as the pretty gentry class that was formed out of the former Cossack stratum. This milieu ensured a receptive circle and served as a constructive factor in the form of readers and writers for the formation of popular literary genres and styles in the 19th century. It is worth of noting that the appearance of popular literature in the process of democratization became a characteristic trait of the literary development of the middle of 19th century, not only in Ukrainian literature, but in the different national literature. For instance, in 1845, the writer, editor, and literary critic Evert Dyking recommended in the American Review that, I put, two principles should inform an emerging American literary identity. First, literature should be accessible to the people. And second, such popular works should seek not to imitate European models, but to express uniquely American themes in unmistakable American ways. End quotation. In German literature, there are two periods of expansion of writing and reading of popular literature. The first is in the 1770s, and the second is in the last three decades of the 19th century. In particular, popular literature became widely disseminated in the Weimar period as a reaction to an increasing pressure of utilitarianism and an erosion of the traditional values caused by the processes of modernization. In Russia, in the post-reform era, the creation of a suitable literature for the people and the determination of what the peasant could read and what he should read received top priority from the populist intelligentsia, Markuyev, Rubakin and others. In 1882, the People's Library for the Dissemination of Healthy Intellectual Fare among the common people was established in Russia. It would be a gross simplification to consider Ukrainian народная литература as a literature only for the people. Its base of subjectivity was comprised of various classes, from literate peasants and burghers to petty landowners who wept while reading Marussia, whose author, a county marshal of the nobility Grigory Kvitka, hid under the mask of Grigory Osnoyanenko. Jeremiah Eisenstock noted that the social face of Kotyarevsky readers is completely defined by the face of the contemporary intelligent reading mass. There was landowners, the petty nobility, and priests. The Ukrainophile intelligentsia was also recruited from the middle and petty nobility, people of the free professions, individuals who stand closer to the peasantry, sons of priests and volost clerks. It may be assumed that the development of national literature as a culture of the middle class became one of the hallmarks of the development of 19th century Ukrainian literature. And all peoples of popular Ukrainian literature, which is common to both the upper and lower strata, was a populist cultural utopia that nourished the ideals of the national elite. Ukrainian culture for the middle class was consciously championed by Taras Shevchenko in his late period of work, who reflected on the burgher culture of the middle class in his diary. In particular, he rejected the culture of the upper class both as an object and a factor of cultural development in Ukraine, commenting, "Indeed, does our minuscule high society have any kind of significance in the sense of nationality? It would appear not. But the middle class," the poet wrote, "this is a huge and unfortunately semi-literate mass. This one half of the people, this is the heart of our nationality. And now it needs not a popular Suzdal Lubok about the progital song, but a noble, sophisticated and witty satire. Не суздальської лубочної притчі про блудного сина, а благородної, вишуканої і дотепної сатири." The populist idea in Ukrainian literature allows us to examine the development of Ukrainian literature not only within the framework of the concept of incomplete literature, but beyond it. After all, its creators and Kulturträgers were the upper strata who were creating literature in the folk manner. In satisfying the diverse taste of middle-class readers, literary populism was a broad and multifaceted intellectual project. Therefore, it is once again an urgent task to take another look at the development of Ukrainian literature, not from the perspective of the teleology of high modernist culture, Chizhevsky equated with a complete ideal model, but from the standpoint of its immanent development, where popular culture, in fact, was carrying out important national building and modernizing functions. Thank you for your attention.